Bruce Burke.
Just in time.
Nice. Colin Oglesby. Oh, yeah. Cynthia Harper Ayala.
Here.
Dale Calvert.
Here.
Leanne Hernandez.
Here.
Laura Dent. She's going to be late. Ian Johnson. Did I come? John Aiken. Paul Smith. Alrighty. You do have home.
Great. All right. Well, we will entertain a approval of the minutes. Somebody?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. You don't need to work all that. We don't need to.
We did last.
All right, great. Well, that went really fast. So. If I wouldn't have said anything, it would have been. All right, got you. Yeah, somebody right. Got absolutely. All right, well. I guess just thank you, everybody, for doing the notes and for recording those so quickly. So at this point, I would love to invite our friend Jesse Mundo to address the commission. Thank you so much. You have 3 minutes.
Great.
Jesse.
To be happy, I pretend it's going to be very brief.
Okay. Well, feel free to think.
I'm Jesse Mundo, as you know, one of the former commissioners here. Or Prop 101, 409, and 47. And I am just passing. Now this is where I came. Yeah, we got to get to this. Oh.
Thank you.
In the past, I walked every neighborhood in Ward 5. Either I biked or I walked the neighborhood. But I got to tell you, all the neighborhoods, I got to tell you, the one neighborhood that stands out since 2001 is La Vista's. La Vista's is part of the Pueblo Gardens area, which is south of 36, Campbell to the east, Sunland Vistas to the north, and Forges to the west. Now, I gave you a copy of the map here, this here where this area is at. But I went and met with some of the neighbors, but the first photo that I see here is myself and Johnny, one of the neighbors on Cameron Vista. This is probably the worst street in the city of Tucson. Now, I also traveled that area in 2001. Nothing has changed. But the second picture that you're going to be able to see is the second picture. That's Pueblo Gardens, which is just north of 36th Street. And the last picture is just for transportation, is a picture of the bus stop on 36th Street, which is just east of Plummer. This is the only bus stop in the city of Tucson that has no cover at all. So anybody uses the bus, and the reason why it's part of transportation, because one of the things that Central Mayor and Council talk about is we don't have enough money. $2.4 billion budget. Don't tell the people you don't have money, set priorities, because there's three issues that the public wants. First responder, police, fire, transportation, primarily their neighborhood streets. This is why this commission, I've said in the past, is so important, and I present this to you, to Jim, and I'll follow up with an email. I'll try to get some of the neighbors that live in the business area, but primarily Cameron Street. Now, it's been about 4 months ago when the media got a hold of this. They did do some patchwork on it, but this area, just this small area, it should be completely, you know, repaved. It has been done to 2001 for your consideration. Hope you consider this for your future funding in the future.
Thank you, Jesse. All right, so just as a reminder, that was comments regarding Pueblo Gardens and the business. Thank you so much.
I'd like to make a comment to Jesse.
Is that okay?
When you send out the email, could you CC me, please?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Okay, so for Fred, nice to meet you. Thank you so much. You're on Haines Street. Thank you for attending tonight.
Thank you.
Please feel free to address the commission.
Our street is on Ward 6. He's a secret representative. Sign the petition. Okay, so we had called. And it said our street was due 2027. officer movement. Speak up a little. I apologize. I couldn't hear you.
And they just microphone.
I moved in 1976 on Ames Street.
Okay.
It is paved, I believe, in 81. And ever since, we've had a call for potholes about every week. And if they see, if they're not accurate on that resident's address, they won't fix anything else. The whole street is potholes. So I was there last time he called. I said, there's one right in front of my house and one right across the street. In the header. They fixed that one. They're kicking up. I ran out there, sir. Required for this to be fixed, too. Oh, well, that seems to be the case. So come fix whatever they want and take off. Why won't they do the whole street while they're there? It's a waste of time, gas, money. So it's been 81. I'll do that faster. That's a long time. And we got buses going to school up and down. Those big tires wear the street out. Flips the little street up in the air. And we got tractor trailers going through there. I don't know why, but you see those big diesels going through. Got apartments, two complexes, big ones, right in the street there. Yeah, right by the school. So we got apartments, the school, and then the fire department's block away. They don't go down the street they're on, but they come down our street for whatever reason. I guess there's a stoplight there for pedestrians, so they can trigger it. So I think that our street should be done as soon as possible. Yeah. It wrecks our cars, and I had to replace the front end on my car. It's a 2006, but it's still in well. That's my front end right now. I'm sure there's other cars that get those bumps at night. And a lot of bicycle people use that lane, and I'm sure they have trouble with potholes too. I would think that you would consider moving up the beat on that.
Should we know what the address is?
4046 is my address.
Okay.
East Haine. H-A-Y. 857-11.
Thank you so much. Appreciate coming in and having a conversation with us.
All right, no.
Yes. Here's what. Yep. I brought them in, Lauren. Thank you. Sorry, I'm late.
All right. Anybody else?
Is it possible for my dad's always...
Of course, yeah. And then just if you come up with a card, that'd be great.
I got this petition going with the help of Fred's wife. James Street is a mess. There's cars up and down both sides of that street twice a day to drop out there, kids. A high weeper. You bust it, or up and down that street. Keep a fire truck, rather than use Timrod or whatever streets that they're on, are up and down. It's apartments on Haine, they're right, the parking lot, it ain't perfect. People that live here, if the fast street's a drive strip, it's ridiculous. Also, Haine intersects Pine in front of Lying Weber. There's a massive pothole right there. Lying is a complete mess all the way down to 22nd Street. Once in a while, somebody will come pull a pothole, leave the others. When I spoke with somebody, and I think I complained to the city twice, God said, we'll send pictures and we'll send the address and the residents where the hole is. The one full turbos they just leave. I fail to understand why they're going to do Haine Street from Malvern on down to Ryan. They won't do the whole street. You grind from Timrod all the way down to 22nd. It's just, it's ridiculous. And there's sometimes I would like to go out with a, well, I would never do it. the cars up and down Payne Street so fast. We'd like to go out there with some of those bike strips if that's the issue. Not that I would do it, but it's ridiculous. And I'm going to run off a little bit here. I talked to somebody at Ward 6 a couple of years ago about speed house, speed box on that street. $5,000 a pop, residents pay for. Nothing been done about the high speed traffic on that street. Residents want to stop it, so it's a huss. That's ridiculous. That street needs to pay. I've lived in that home since 1997. It's a mess. Bates Street. Here's your prayer.
Thank you so much. Is she coming in? Letting us know. Anybody else? For a call to the audience?
I may, you're asking for concerns or?
Yeah, if you wanted to fill out a card, you could address the commission if you'd like.
Okay.
So you need that was almost a big 2 week at this.
This one is to.
Okay. Yeah, you can go ahead and address the commission.
Thank you.
James Smith.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I'm late. A little traffic issues. I represent Wrightstown Ranch Homeowners Association in the east side. The entrance is at Wrightstown Road and Day Road. Our subdivision was created in 1994. The streets were paved sometime in that 94-95 time frame. They've not been touched since then. And they are deteriorating kind of rapidly. The last year or two, it's gotten worse, more cracks, more potholes, depending on what part of the subdivision you're in. Our subdivisions are city streets, curb to curb, and they would just like to be put on the, you know, obviously we all want what we want when we want it, but we really need something done. So we appreciate any, if someone could come over and look and talk to, meet with us, we'd be happy to show you around. So that's really all I have to say. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. We were looking for Wrightstown Ranch earlier today and we couldn't find it on our mapping tools. Is it to the north? I've got Day and Wrightstown.
That's on the north end of Day Road.
North side. Okay, great. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. It's a one-way in, one-way out community.
Gotcha.
We have about a mile and a half of city streets. The chief ones being Day Road, Wild Hyacinth, Camino Agrios, and then it was probably about seven or eight small cul-de-sac streets.
Got it.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Well, that concludes the call to the audience. So next up, I have the RTA presentation.
Okay. Madam Chair, with me this evening is our Steve Hoffman and Rick Ellis from the Regional Transportation Authority and Ag. And I will pass the clicker to them.
All right. My name's Steve Hoffman. The good-looking guy next to me is Rick Ellis.
I talk slow, man.
Yeah, so thank you for having us here tonight. I know that you guys... Sorry. the nature of this committee that you're already familiar with RTA, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going. This is the presentation that we do out in the community. I'll go through a little bit faster than we normally do, so we've got time for questions and answers. I'll let you know, too, if you're interested, I left a stack of the RTA Next project list that, as you came in the front door there, so if you want to grab copies of that. There's also another flyer that's giving a little further tweak down of what's in the plan. And all of this stuff is available on our rtanext.com website. So if you want to look up for information or if you want to have it electronically there for the people, that's all available there. So with that, we'll just go ahead and open this right.
Yep.
So you guys are, I hope you're aware of the RTA, but we were created by the state legislature in 2004. That legislation gave us the ability to go to the ballot and ask the people of Pima County to support two things. First was a 20-year transportation plan, which was passed in 2006. On that same ballot, the only funding mechanism that we have available for those voter-approved transportation plan is a voter-approved half-cent sales tax to pay for that plan. So in order for the plan to be implemented, both of those have to pass on the ballot. The plan that was passed in 2006 is set to expire in 2026. I just want to make sure everybody's clear, even though we're the Pima County Regional Transportation Authority, we are not part of the Pima County government. We're technically an independent special taxing district that was created by the state legislature, but our board of directors is made up of members from all the local jurisdictions, including both tribal nations and also a representative AFI on that board of directors. The RTA is, road transportation improvements are a big part of what we do. It's not all that we do. We also provide significant funding for transit, paratransit services, bike paths, pedestrian walkways, safety improvements in intersections, traffic interchanges, and of course the roads that we all use. RTA Next, this slide, when I ask people to take a look at this, I know we talk about the money, we talk about the roads and all this, but this slide to me is the why. Why do we do this? The RTA, it's obviously important. We want to get people to work and school on time, to get there safely. The roads are really important. I mean, just one example that people never have to deal with, but first responders, having good roads is really important. It speeds up getting life-saving services to you if you rely on that. It's also critical for the economic development of our community, for both expanding jobs that are currently here and attracting new jobs. And we're in competition with not just the other cities and towns in the state of Arizona, but this whole region, the whole country. And good infrastructure is a critical part of making sure we have a healthy, vibrant economy. This slide, I always say, is probably the most important slide in the whole presentation, and I just want you to see here. We appreciate all the money that we get as a region from both state and federal funding sources. And you can see we get about $50 million a year coming in from state and federal funding sources, but that voter-approved half-cent sales tax is responsible for about $129 million a year, depending on how the economy is going, which represents about two-thirds of all the money that we have available on an annual basis for transportation improvements in Pima County. So you can imagine that's what we look like minus that half-cent voter group sales tax. Imagine just in your own life what your budget would look like if overnight you lost two-thirds of all your income that you currently have right now and still have to pay for the same bills that you have. But the other important part of this, and I know this is going to bother Rick alerts when I use this word, but it's the flexibility that we have with that voter-approved half-cent sales tax. When I say that, what I mean is that we can only spend that money on voter-approved transportation projects. We don't have the flexibility to spend on anything other than what the voters approved. But if you look at the state and federal money that we come in many times, and it makes sense why they do it, there are strings attached to that. There are transportation projects that might not qualify for funding that we get from state or federal sources. So that voter-approved local funding source is really critical because it allows us to do projects that may not necessarily be eligible for state or federal funding sources. Another thing we just like to point out, a lot of people say, you guys have tons of money. Why do we need to have another sales tax on us? We just point out that traditional funding sources like gas taxes are important. They're valuable, but we haven't seen a gas tax increase in the last years, not even keeping pace with inflation for the last 30 years. We've also seen the rise of fuel efficient vehicles. That's really great for the environment, and that's really important. We've also seen electric vehicles, and both of those factors have created a decline in traditional transportation funding through things like gas taxes. The other important part about the RTA sales tax, the voter approved sales tax, you can see all the categories. It's all the categories that you pay any sales tax on anything that else that you bought. We have a half-cent sales tax that's approved by the voters dedicated to the voter-approved transportation projects. It's important to point out that we do not charge that half-cent sales tax on groceries or pharmaceuticals, so we're not taxing critical things like that. But the other thing I like to point out with this is when you have sales tax to pay for transportation, everybody that uses our roads pays their fair share of those transportation improvements, which includes tourists, winter visitors, people just passing through town. Anybody that uses our roads pays for them. The alternative would be putting something like a bond election on a ballot, where we'd ask the voters to also approve that. But if we did that, the only people that would be paying those property taxes would be homeowners and businesses in Pima County. So a sales tax means that everybody that uses the roads pays a little bit to support improvements in transportation in Pima County. The other thing that we just want to point out in this, I told you the current plan expires in June of 2006. We're going to the ballot in March of 2006. As soon as the new plan and the new tax are approved, the old tax and the old plan will go away. So there's not going to be double taxation. There's not going to be an overlap on that. And one of the other things that I want to make sure you understand, because people have asked us, why are we going to the ballot in March? And the answer to that is because of the way that the state law was written. If we go to the ballot, we cannot start collecting the new tax until after April 1st. So if we go to the ballot in March, there will be no lapse in funding. We can continue to fund bus transit services, all the road projects that we'll look at. We went to the ballot after April 1st, and it passed. We'd have to wait till following April 1st to begin collecting a new tax. So there would be significant gaps for up to 9 months for things like transit services, paratransit, things like that. So that's why they want the ballot.
I have a question about it.
Yes.
So one tax expires, then a new tax starts. There's no increase in tax.
Nope.
But from my days, you remember this from the school board days, when you're passing an override, the way the language is on the bond or in the ballot, it looks like it's a tax increase because the average voter doesn't know that you're getting rid of one and starting another, but it's the same value, right? So is that true with this type of election as well?
Well, it's a little more complicated. That's why we're having the meetings that we're having and talking to people about this, because there was actually a case up in the city of Scottsdale where they were replacing the old tax with a new tax, and they actually got sued, I think, by Goldwater Institute for saying that it was not a new tax. It was just a continuation of it. So I love lawyers as much as everybody else does, but I was just telling you the way we've written this and the way the state law is written, there will not be any period of double taxation. The new plan and the new tax will replace the old plan and the old tax, and actually we're getting to the point where we're talking about this, but there is not going to be any period where there's overlap
and you're going to be paying double with taxes for a few months.
You may get that. Yep, Jim.
Yeah, I've seen the ballot language. The way the current tax that's in place was adopted in May of 2006, and the collection started on July 1 of 2006. It was scheduled to go until July, or rather June 30th of 2026, because this is going to start on April 1st. There's language in the ballot materials the propositions. It basically says that the existing tax will cease on May 31st or March 31st, and the new tax will start on April 1st.
So that is on the ballot.
That's on the ballot materials.
That should solve the problem as homeless people read. Which...
Are you kidding?
I guess my question. I know. You know, Goldwater Institute, that's what a shocker that is.
Every place. So the RKA next plan, we'll go through these elements really quickly, and I know we'll probably focus on a couple of them in depth at the end of this presentation. But we will continue to invest in the roadway element. We will also continue to invest in safety, AEA active transportation. So that's the bus pullouts, that's the safety improvements in the intersections. That's the sidewalks, that's the bike paths, things like that. This next category is something that you guys, I think, will be particularly interested in, and it's a new element that we did not have in the original 2006 plan. But we have set aside about $178 million, right? $177.6 million for pavement rehabilitation of arterial and collector roads. So these will not be the 31 main projects that we have as part of the roadway alignment, but these will be projects that will be identified by the different jurisdictions in Pima County after passage of this, where we were going, and Rick, I can explain this in greater detail because I don't want to say it wrong, but I would assume that this committee would have a neutral in determining those arterial and collector roads there in the city of Tucson that will be part of this element of the plan. And that's important. You guys know, I mean, when I talk to people about the fact that the RKA Next is a $2.67 billion program over the next 20 years, for normal people, that sounds like a huge amount of money. But you know the shortfall that we still have after that $2.67 million. So this element is really important because we are going to be able to rely on groups like this to help us really prioritize and identify what the highest priority arterial and collector roads so that we get the most bang for the buck out of the resources that we have. And I think this is an exciting new element in the RTA Next plan. That is going to make a big difference in our community.
The money that is allocated to arterials and collectors, is that countywide or citywide?
The whole plan is countywide, right. But within the plan, the funds will be distributed in the different cities.
Can you address what portion of that arterial collector roads would be allocated? Do something, give us a reference.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you remember what it is, I can never remember the account.
Yeah, okay. So, of the $177 million, $139.6 million of it is dedicated to the city of Tucson. That was done at the board. This was one of the things that they were looking at, equity between jurisdictions.
Right.
And this is a priority of the city of Tucson. The city has arterial roadways that are in, sadly, not in as good a condition as the rest of the region. And so this money is disproportionately loaded to the same.
Because it's roughly 149.
Yeah.
Right, thank you.
So then the last two elements, and you can see pictures of them, we have about $50 million that we're investing in those wildlife linkages. Those are both overpasses and underpasses so that wildlife can safely cross traffic ways without getting hurt. And obviously that's important for the critters. But part of the reason we invest that money, too, is nobody wants to be in a six-car pileup because a coyote or something runs out in front of your car. So we invest money in these wildlife linkages, both for the benefit of the animals and for people using the roads, as another safety element. And then finally, we have significant investments in transit, including paratransit services. And in this plan, we have about $726 million over the 20-year life of the plan that's going into transit services. So hopefully this works. So this is the 2006, right? 2006 month. Sorry, my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. But this is the footprint that you can see of what was done under the 2006 plan. Now, this is just the transportation corridors that we did. We had lots of other projects, the bike paths and all those things, but you can see that. Then you can see overlay what we're proposing to do in the RTA next, and you can see what a big impact the first RTA and RTA next have had and will have on Pima County. So a significant footprint between those two plans. The first plan that was passed at in 2006, we completed more than 1,000 improvements under that voter approved plan. We directly invested $1.9 billion in our region from that voter approved half cent sales tax. But because of those investments, we were able to leverage more than $3 billion in public-private investments in our community. So there's a greater fiscal impact on our community than just the money that's coming from the sales taxes. We also commissioned an economic impact study, and that study calculated that there were 40,000 permanent jobs that were created in Pima County as a direct result of that voter-approved half-cent sales tax and the investments in transportation and infrastructure in our community. As part of that same study, we also project that we will see an additional 48,000 new jobs created over the life of the RTA Next plan. And again, keep bringing in public-private investments of over $3 billion as a result of that infrastructure improvement in our community. The flip side, if we're not competing, we're going to be losing against all the other communities that surround us. So failure to continue to improve and invest our infrastructure in our community could result in a loss of 54,000 jobs and an economic impact of losing more than $3.5 billion. This is what I kind of call our less easy earned slide. When we run to the voters in 2006 and they approved the plan, we had never done this before. So there are a lot of things we were doing for the first time. We didn't anticipate when that plan was approved in 2006 that we have one of the biggest recessions we've ever seen in 2007, 2008. We didn't know that we were going to be going into a pandemic. We didn't know that we were going to be going into inflation like we've seen the past few years. And all of those had a huge impact on, and we also had population estimates that we projected higher growth than we actually got. So all those factors kind of contributed to we didn't hit the revenue numbers that we expected back in 2006. We have, I think, done a better job in the deliberate conversations that were done by our board of directors to use a little more conservative revenue numbers to make sure that we don't have a huge gap like we had, that we've got a little bit of cushion if something happens like a recession or something like that again. We also have a couple different forms of oversight. We get audited by the state every 5 years through the Auditor General. We've got a Citizens Oversight Committee that meets on a regular basis and makes sure that we're keeping our word to the voters of what we promised and delivering on those promises. And we also have a very vigorous outreach to the residents of Pima County to find out what their priorities are. And at the end of the day, this is not our plan. This is your plan. You guys get to go to the ballot box and decide whether you like the plan or not. We tried to base the RTA Next plan off the feedback that we got from both in-person meetings, surveys, social media, all sorts of different tools to figure out what the priorities of the folks DP County are. So we hope at the end of all this that when you go to the ballot in March, there's going to be significant improvements no matter where you live, no matter where you work, no matter how you use the transportation or transit system. And so with that, I will turn it back over to Jim. If you want to scan that QR code, you're certainly welcome to do that. Or you can go to rtanext.com and all that information will be there. I don't know, Rick, if you want to throw anything else.
I'm going to throw just one. I'll expand on just what Steve talked about, just to bring, because specific to this particular group's interests, there's a couple of things we've learned to highlight on. One of those, and primarily in the roadway category, you're going to notice that we have bike and pedestrian improvements and all those things. There are normal inclusions in the big roadway corridors because that ensures a fully functional type of facility. You'll notice the phraseology is bike or pedestrian, not sidewalks or bike lanes. And we did that on purpose in working with the jurisdiction so that we could ensure that can be contextually designed at the time that's done so that that can get the right mix and match. There's a lot of different facilities that can be utilized for bike pedestrian safety and improvements. So we wanted to make sure that there was the ability to ensure that was appropriately taken into account and the right feature was applied. So you're going to see that in there. You'll also see the modernization phrase. And a lot of folks have kind of questioned us about that and wondered, what does that exactly mean? And essentially, we're bringing the other performance functions, bike, ped, transit, intersection, safety, up to the level of where the vehicular capacity already is established. Basically, the lane configuration is appropriate. Now, we want to make sure the other aspects of it are folded as well. And then, as you heard, talked about with the pavement, one key thing to note on that, we're still prohibited from doing routine maintenance activities. So as you heard, some of the concerns about pothole repair, that's still the responsibility of the jurisdictions, as are all maintenance responsibilities. But we do have the capability of introducing now a rehabilitation element. As Jim said, the lion's share of it's going to go within the city of Tucson, dedicated to the collector and arterial roadway system, so they'll get the functionality and the regional benefit out of all that. And we're still putting policies around all those activities, but we expect that's going to have significant service life so that we can make sure we're doing the proper investment, extend the durability of it, and get the return on investment that we need. So that's all I wanted to add to what you talked about. You can handle any questions you got.
Yeah. So it looks like we're looking at less than $10 million per year over a 20-year period. And I know I ask a lot of our staff, but I would be interested in seeing what that would look like in terms of lane miles and what we could achieve over the 20-year period. And I know the purchasing power is going to be a lot lower over the latter half. Jim, is that something you could project for us?
I can tell you that we've already been looking at it, and it's about 200 lane miles.
Okay. And it seems like this is smaller than our collector road program. And I say that because I was just too young to vote for the first RTA program, and I feel like now we're at the end of it, and it feels like toward the end we're seeing projects being pushed out toward the end that weren't able to be included in RTA 1 that are being pushed off to RTA Next. And I'm just concerned that we're going to have arterials especially that are not going to have the funding to be included in RTA Next and going to have to be pushed off to the next one. So I'm interested in seeing staff's analysis on that. And do you have any thoughts on that possibility of projects that might once again be pushed on to RTA 3?
You got a good set of questions on that, and I'll take a stab at it. Jim, Steve, jump in if you feel I miss anything on this. So the projects that So there are several RTA current projects that are actively underway. We're working with the jurisdictions on them as we speak, and we've got a number of them under construction and a number loaded up for the next year. So those are all progressing along and are still going to be come through and fulfill delivery requirements. We did have a handful of those that were proposed for RTA Next, primarily due to scope changes. The original envisioned roadway improvements back in 2004, 5, and 6, based on projections of growth, volume increases, all those type of things, never quite materialized. So we need to take that back to the voters, ask for the additional money to accelerate it, and make sure that's included into the plan as well. So They weren't necessarily pushed back because they were at the tail end. The changes warranted a revisitation by the voters. So with regards to the will there still be enough to fulfill everything, that's our purpose. That's our mission. We're looking at this to say 20-year tax, 20-year plan, 20-year delivery. So I expect that because of the nature of the pavement rehabilitation and the importance of that, that'll probably be one of the earlier items that we look at, evaluate, work with the jurisdictions to make sure that funding allotment and those portions of activities can be moved forward probably earlier in the plan than later would be my guess.
Okay.
We'll know more as we go forward, see how revenues come in, but that's a critical urgency emphasis, I think, on behalf of all the jurisdictions.
Okay. And to just tuck in a little bit on what Rick said, that when there was a significant scope change, a necessary scope change, state law requires us to ask the voters to approve the new projects if they're significant but different than what was initially approved back in 2006. So it would make, I think that the RTA did a phenomenal job considering 20 years and all the economic conditions that we went through to really be looking at 7 projects. But it makes sense. You don't want to build something that doesn't meet the needs of what we thought we were going to need back 20 years ago.
Okay. And I also want to say that I really like most of the projects for the original RTA, and I want to find a way to make people in Ward 2 as excited about RTA Next as the first RTA. And I'll take this information back to them and see if we can achieve that.
No, appreciate it. That's kind of, I think, was a key thing in a lot of this effort, is making sure you're informed, you're knowledgeable, and can pass it on, share with it, help them see the value and benefit to it. So thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Anybody else have a question? Go ahead.
It's not directly related to the RTA next, but you complementing this project are two sources of revenue, state and ZESL.
Yeah.
How reliable are the federal funding?
Are you here?
We're seeing cuts that he's been imagining for two years ago. Are we at risk for any of these sources as well?
Well, can I just say, I think we have to kind of separate. We could talk about RTA next, because that's our job with this. The voters approved the plan. And the voters approved the funding mechanism to pay for those ITX programs. I think Claire can tell you those other funding sources will be part of that mix, right?
Correct.
But the voter approved part, the one that we can control, is this what we're going to put on the ballot.
No, understood, right. But apparently if you lost $30 million or $20 million a year in 10 years, that's a significant impact on whatever projects you have in mind.
So the sources that you saw up on the screen as it relates to the federal and state allocations, those have been consistently reliable and at that funding investment level. So those have been pretty normally realized each year. The column in here that talks in the plan about non-RTA funding sources also includes MVAC fees that have been identified by the jurisdictions, state allocations that normally come to the region for use on the state highway system. By committing RTA investment dollars, it now essentially leverages those dollars and says, okay, we put our part in, now they're linked. So that almost puts a higher degree of certainty, importance, and emphasis, prioritization on that. So I don't ever want to say funding's guaranteed, it'll never go away, because we've all seen otherwise. But by passing the RTA, it kind of says, we put ours in, now you have to bring yours along. There may be allocation changes in totals, but we just got to the front of the line with priority emphasis, with urgency to go along with that. So I think we've seen that strategy work fairly well for us.
I'll make a comment, and I say a comment because these guys have already heard probably every question that...
Don't sandbag us, Dale.
I want to point out a couple of things. One is there were 3 different projections of revenue done by the University of Arizona. That's where the revenue projections came from. And they have used the most conservative of the 3. Okay? I think that's a very important point. But there's an issue that comes along with something that we are familiar with on this committee. And that is, what happens if the money doesn't come out equal? We know what comes out on the RTA now when we're shorter. But what happens if there's actually more money collected than the conservative estimate says? And there's a structure built into this to deal with that. And when you look at I'm going to use one article here. There's page 4, you'll see the arterial collector rehabilitation money. That's listed at $177,600,000. If you go with the other projections, there's a potential additional $80 million above that that would actually be triggered when the money is excess. Okay? So, there's that excess formulas has been something that's been very difficult to get carried out and finished and come to a conclusion. Now, obviously, a lot of politics involved in that. But I think that is a very important point. The other point is that there are some unique projects for the city of Tucson here. The last time a major element project that was put in was the modern streetcar. Streetcar projects were far more expensive than that, and the city of Tucson has backed up to doing a bus rapid transit system. And from basically, and all of this is not settled, but basically from downtown to Tucson Mall. That is some of those things. There's some unique things in here when you go through this list that are, you know, there's no bus rapid transit anywhere else. That's in Tucson. So that was another point I wanted to make clear. And the last thing I'll say is I think you all know my phone numbers. If you have questions, you have things, want to talk about it. I'm not a be-all and end-all to know what's going on here. But I will tell you what I know. And I've spent a few hours doing this.
Sorry. 7.5 years.
Only a few?
Only a few hundred.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions for our RTA book? Thank you so much for your presentation. We sure appreciate you.
That's great.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Sip, chirp myself.
It's in my love.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes.
All right, next up we have the Crop 101 updates.
Okay. We get that part out.
Slice it as well. There we go.
Okay, give you a brief update, and then I'm going to have an action item that I'd like to request your consideration of. First, we are continuing to work through the remaining Prop 101 projects. Most of them are in the that are remaining are in the downtown area. We have another couple of them that are under construction. Within the downtown area, we've got some that are pretty complicated. They're Church Avenue and Alameda Street and Main Street on Lynn Avenue to 10th Avenue to the south of the downtown area. Those projects have water line relocations that are being designed, and we are also looking at the timing of the infrastructure so that we aren't interfering with downtown activities. We've got a lot of activities, and we have to have, even though these projects can take years to in construction, particularly we're dealing with replacement of the water, we are trying to be sensitive to the activities that are going on in downtown. One of the things I was able to work with our team on was to see if we couldn't get the simpler paving projects that didn't involve water all done in advance of the call it the festival season that we're now in with Tucson. Everybody is, you know, you have to be out of here before Tucson meet yourself. So that was really a big deal. This shows the streets that we were able to get repaved. We did Stone Avenue.
between basically First Street and Fifth Street. We were able to do Franklin to the west of Church. Now, there's still a section of Franklin that we need to do to the east of Church, but that we cannot do until we get the detour for downtown Links addressed. We did Pennington Street, did that all that work was done at night, and we replaced the or completed the Cushing Street project, which had been repaved. They did not do the curb access ramps at the time because of the potential for conflicts. We went ahead and took care of that. So that project is now complete. We just have a few more pieces of Package 10. Again, Cushing Street, Church Avenue, Alameda Street, and the 10th Avenue, Main Avenue route to the south of Cushing. I believe in your packets you've got copies of the financial, shows you where we're at. Here's really the essence of it. Our residential work is now complete. We had an initial distribution of funding that went to residential fund, residential projects and to arterial projects. We received $52,814,869 of revenue for the residential work. The residential work that was approved by this commission ended up costing us $46,212,423 when balanced. The arterial revenue, the arterial program was bigger. It had revenue that has actually been realized in $80,011,203. Expenses to date are a little over $50,500,000. We've got an arterial fund balance of almost $30 million, but we have an estimated remaining cost of $39.4 million. So we're about $10 million out from what's available under the arterial account. What we are continuing to do is look at ways to economize. We actually, the estimate does not include what we saved on that project that we just finished in the downtown area. I was actually able to deliver those streets at $1 million under their estimate. It was originally estimated at $2.3 million. We brought it in at $1.3 million. So, we're looking at ways to deliver these projects smartly and cost-effectively, and we're going to continue to do that. We do have big dollars that we're still expecting to spend on Fifth Street. Fifth Street is going to go on for another 2 years. That's really the remaining big project. We're right now in the water work. We're beginning to do paving and curb and sidewalk work to the east of Country Club. The work that has been done to the west of Country Club is was a different project. It was a 407 project. We used the same contractor because they were in the area. We will be continuing to work east of Country Club all the way to Wilmot for the next 2 years. I am asking of the commission is that because we've got full funding of the projects that were authorized under 101 for residential, and we have Prop 411 that will touch all of the rest of the city neighborhood streams. We'd like to ask that money, the additional money in the residential account, be transferred over to the arterials. This is something that we would have to take through the mayor and council. We're asking for your recommendation to make that change. We will then, with your support, we would like to receive that approval from the Tucson City Council.
You want a motion?
Please.
I make a motion that recommendation to the City Council that the remaining Prop 101 residential road construction funds be reallocated to the delivery of the Prop 101 arterial road and reconstruction program.
Second on the motion.
I have a quick question.
So many.
I know you wanted to put it up here. The answer wasn't yes, but I just want to hear it anyway. So this is like moving these monies from one bucket to another is totally Cole was lowing it to the ballot, the ballot, the voter approved ballot.
That is something that we're working with the attorney on. If it is not cool, it will not go any further. We're still working on it, but we believe that this is the path forward.
So if it's not cool, it won't go to mayor councils where you
are? Right.
May I request that we just get a confirmation after the attorney weighs in? Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, just as an FYI to us, like,
yeah,
I mean, the city attorney was like, all good.
So this motion, can I ask, all of this, is it contingent upon city attorney's approval? I mean, how is this going to work if we recommend something and it's not happening?
If we're not able to do that, then I'll be back to this commission. And I'll tell you that that there was a problem with us moving forward with the reallocation of funds. And then I'll seek your guidance on how to spend the remaining $6.6 million, which is in the residential account.
Question. Money that you want to allocate and to move, the criteria for the neighborhoods have all been met. Yes.
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 Okay.
I'm ex-a-partum, Jim. I think that makes sense. But I would just like to know what, if this didn't go forward, what, like, 6.6 would be used for, given that, like, the voter mandate has been...
That's what he'd say. He would have to come back.
I don't come back to this issue. The bigger problem is going to be what will I have to stop closing the problem is that with the... When we went out to 101 in the voter materials, we said, we will build these arterial road projects. And then we said, we will do reconstruction in neighborhood streets, and it will be up to the IOAC to determine which streets to do that work on. If right now we are not adequately funded to do the arterial work that was approved as a part of that, was presented to the voters as being part of the 101 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's my challenge.
I guess it's the flip side of the issue, not the deficit in the arterial piece, but like, what do we do with the more money? Would it just go into the same?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, if we looked at that, you know, it would be money available to continue the roadway on that program. It might mean that I do fewer chip seals on some of the streets and do more load fill, but right now I think we're hitting a pretty good stride right now.
Seems a big question, Dad.
Well, just to play devil's advocate for a minute, why wouldn't you take that $6 million and put it into his neighborhoods?
I'm sorry?
Into neighborhoods.
We could, but right now we believe that we're going to be able to fully fund the neighborhood streets with the 411 revenues that we're anticipating. We're actually doing pretty well with it. I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to shift, even with the current funding situation, to do more mill and fill with the campaign. So at this point in time, I don't see any risk to meeting the commitment to touch or to approve every neighborhood street under Prop 411 that was promised to the voters before.
And I just want to clarify, looking at the arterial packages list, looking at completions, the furthest out, it looks like 5th Street, Package 5, Arterial Package 10, Churchstone, Cushing, Main, 10th, and Package 13, Park Avenue, because those are furthest out, FY 2027. It sounds like those would be the packages most at risk if the funds were not transferred.
At this point, the downtown package is the most at risk because it is not... Not all of the pieces of work have been initiated.
Okay.
Fifth Street, we're committed. We're out of construction. And Park Avenue is also under construction presently. Both of those have water work that are leading the construction programs. Tucson Water is actually contracting for paving work on Park Avenue. The paving work, whether or not it's incidental to the water work, even though it's a $5 million buffer. visit the paving work triggered the need for the water work, but the cost of the water work is much greater than the cost of the paving work that triggered the water work. But this is.
Do we need to change the language of the proposal right now because of the request from John to get notification as to what the jury say? Do we need to modify it all?
Madam Chair, I think there's a motion on the floor that's been seconded. An alternative motion, or a substitute motion could be brought forward, or you could vote it down and then give me direction to come back later.
Oh, no, I'm just saying with the caveat of, just notifying us about what the attorney says. We need to change the motion at all?
No. I would consider, if you want
to... You have to withdraw your motion.
Or actually just to affirm and amend.
Yeah.
If the first and the second approve his proposals.
Yeah, or
cast a friendly amendment.
I approve, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You want to know that
Jim just notifies us of the outcome of the attorney's decision.
Yeah. So what is subject to the...
Right.
So if I understand correctly, you're approving the motions with further direction for me to come back to you to give you the information on that?
Yes. Yes.
From the attorney.
Yeah.
That's friendly amendment. I accept that friendly amendment.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do we need to do vocal? Yeah. All right. This is a yes or no, right?
Yes or no.
All right. Bruce?
Yes.
Colin?
Yes.
Cynthia?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Laura?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Alrighty. Last chance.
Well, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Jim, that was the last action item, right?
That was the last action item.
Actually, I had a work conflict that popped up, so I got a motive. Sorry.
Thank you for sticking around for the motion.
Yeah. And to give you extra work. Sorry.
That's okay. That's
for your help.
You were essential. Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
Question about that
problem. Yeah.
Do you have like a ballpark
See you next time.
Drivable?
I do. Downtown Links, we finally got everything we needed from the Union Pacific Railroad, and what was really holding us up was Lulin, which got ducts that were in the shoe fly track alignment that we couldn't remove until they relocated it. That held us up for a year. And it cost us a pretty penny. That has now been...
that's in relation to the railroad?
Pardon?
That's in relation to the railroad? Or?
Yeah, the railroad had given license or easement to Lumen. Yeah, basically, go back in time, the telecommunications Sprint carriers. Sprint was, I think, Southern Pacific Railroad. I don't know what the acronym was. It was basically data lines that were installed along the railroad track in the railroad right of way because the railroad owned it, and they have since spun that off, but the Lumen, which goes back to AT&T, if you go back through multiple acquisitions, they have the fiber optics, or some of the fiber optics in the right of way, and they have prior rights. So they basically, it's on us to move them, and they basically told the city last November, last fall, they told the city, hey, you're not going to be able to do any, we won't be able to support the relocation of that line back to its original position in the new bridge until after Super Bowl Sunday. And it took us until, Mr. Credio had to, I had to tell Lulin all of their permits were canceled in the city of Tucson to get them back into town to put back out. Wow. They had repeatedly told us the city was incurring costs associated with railroad flaggers that we had to provide him. We had to set them up. They were out of town. They'd come in, mobilize, be prepared. They're expensive. And then the utility would show up, or they'd show up for a day and then they'd leave. And it was that the delays on that project have cost the city about $14 million. It's yeah, between the exposure to increased costs, the additional traffic control, the additional general conditions on the contract that we had, and it wasn't just that, but you know, it's been a rough period the last couple of years to do construction with the volatility in pricing, and that contributed to it. Okay. But back to your original question, we expect to have a ribbon cutting in June.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
So the project will be completed likely in February, but we want to have it open to traffic as early as we can. Once the project is complete, one of the last phases of that project will be to realign church, and then we'll be able to get that last piece of traffic.
Thank you.
So sorry for a long-winded answer.
That's
anyway, let's go on to Prop 411, where we stand right now. These projects that are either under contract or mobilizing. Rolling Hills, we're almost done. I know they paved around the school during the fall break, and I have to check with them to see what's left, but that's pretty far along. Jefferson Park, paving is finished on that. They're in adjustments. Ward 2 and 6, that was a big project that basically we went from 5th Street north to the Rialto between Craycroft and Wilmot, and then added some stuff to the east. Craycroft to Swan. That project, the last two neighborhoods that we have yet to do are Pinecrest and Avondale. That's basically between Pima and Speedway. Those were held up because of water. There's still a little water project that is right behind the McDonald's on Speedway at Craycroft that is holding up that last phase of work, and they should be done in February. So it's continuing on. We got Menlo Park Annex. I know you all heard from the Menlo Park folks a few months ago. That project is under construction, and they're starting to pave end of the month. I think they're starting over at the Broadway and Shannon area, and then working their way to the east, and then it'll be working around the Ward 1 offices here shortly. The Lincoln Ridge project that's been paved and is in the final throes. Hearthstone Hills, I think that may be done. Hearthstone Hills, I think they finished paving or will finish paving next week. They did get hit by the rains this fall, or just a couple of weeks ago. It did some damage to their work, but the paving phase is almost done. Then there'll be an adjustments, and so I would expect that to be completely wrapped up by the end of the year. Frontier Village, Columbus edition, that is the neighborhood basically around the Tucson Botanical Gardens. It's just it's between Grant and Pima, Alvern on to Columbus. That neighborhood is under contract. They're going to start in after the first year. It's going to be the same contractor that's out there with Grant Road. So they've already got the constructions, the Grant Road construction work lot is in that neighborhood already. So they'll be doing the work around their facilities. We've got Flowing Wells Park and Flowing Wells Village. Was awarded, I believe last week we awarded that. Bruckner's Edition, Altadena Heights and Mirasol Edition. Basically around the center, it's the Kahlil Bottling Company area, going down past the main Tucson post office in that area. That is starting up now. I think we did the notice to proceed. When was the notice to proceed on that?
The 20th.
So it's, Monday. So they're underway on that. We've got the fall 2025 surface treatments underway. I'm glad Gabe Rascone is here with us. Gabe is actually, he's our point person on all these projects. He's our project manager. Gabe, do you want to talk about what neighborhoods are, I'm asking, I didn't tell him I was going to do this. Gabe, you want to let us know what neighborhoods are in this fall surface treatments?
Yeah, we have Broadway of America, which is I-10 and Park Avenue area. It's kind of industrial. The Manlove Edition, which is a Broadway and Euclid area, southeast corner by the old Bobo dealership. Then we have El Encanto and El Conquistador, north side of El Conmall. And Pantano Ridge Estates, which is over by Pantano and Tanca Verde, Indian Ruins Road. And then there was going to be Speedway Park Edition that was going to be a surface treatment, but we had an opportunity to pivot because I don't see it on the list. Speedway Park Edition is a mill and fill.
Gotcha. Thank you. I didn't put it on the list. I appreciate your mentioning that. We also have issued... do we have a notice to proceed on West University neighborhood yet, or that?
Not yet. Estimated start date is early 2026.
Okay, first of the
January.
Yeah. We do have them under contract with Tucson Asphalt. We have Iron Horse neighborhood, which we opened the bids on that on Tuesday. So we've got that with ISX. El Encanto neighborhood, that neighborhood. That's after the first of the year, right?
December.
It's December. Okay. They were going to be done by Christmas, though, right?
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Don't dream.
El Encanto neighborhood. That one has been one we have had on the books for a long time. Got some drainage areas, some bird baths in the neighborhood that seem to defy gravity. Or actually, we don't have a way to get the water out by gravity. There were some sunk areas, and we found a way to do that. So. Working with SAP, Southern Arizona Paving on that. So they'll be underway with that here shortly. We have Windsor Park, Verde Vista, Cochise State Estates, and Kingston Knowles are all in pricing right now. So, and then Speedway Edition that you mentioned. Looking at where we are right now, one of the things that Peter and this team are working on or continuing to go out and evaluate our pavements. And what they're projecting right now is that our overall condition index, and this is a weighted average over the city, citywide average, is a 54.34. When we started Prop 411, it was under 40. So we've gone from an average condition in our neighborhood streets of very poor. We're through the poor and we're almost fair. So we're, next time we report to you, we will be in the fair. So looking forward to that. This really does show a lot of progress, and very pleased to be able to report that to you.
Two questions.
Yeah.
Where is Hearthstone House?
I will show you in a moment.
Okay, thank you. And then the other thing is, as far as Iron Horse and Fourth Avenue or West University, we're going to avoid the street fairs, right? December and March.
Yeah, I have not gotten I've not gotten calendars yet from them, but yeah, that's something certainly we'll want to be aware of. Okay, some photographs here. We've got Fort Lowell Road that was in the Ward 2 and 6 project, so that portion of it's finished, and we were working with our neighborhood traffic mitigation folks to add speed humps and chicanes and the like, and water harvesting features on that project. This is the map of Ward 1, showing where the projects are that we're working on. First of all, I will tell you that all of the neighborhoods that, or all of the streets that are shown in red, which had been under construction, those are now complete or in the very final wrap-up stages. So they would be blue now. The areas that we're working, if you look at the, I'll use my pointer. This is the Menlo Park area. The area to the west of Granada, Mission, and this piece of Anklam, and the areas to the south of Congress, as well as Sentinel Drive, Sentinel Peak, and the neighborhood, I forget the name of it up in here, but that is all being repaved. along with Broadway and Shannon. We're finishing up, or have just finished. You just issued the notice of completion on the final paint or curb access ramps in the Hope Flower. No, it's the Oak Tree in Midvale Park, Oak Park in Midvale Park neighborhood here in red. And this is a collector street that we have finished paving on Cayo Santa Cruz, which basically goes through the Spectrum Mall area. In Ward 2, we talked a bit about Pantano Heights, was it? Or Pantano
Overlook.
Overlook, yeah. Pantano Overlook, that's in this area over here. Verde Vista Cochise Estates, just to the north of your neighborhood, Dale. So from Pima, north to Tanque Verde, both sides of Rio Tombres. And Dos Obras is getting repaired as part of that. So we're getting that. That's out to bid along with Windsor Park and with Kingston Knowles. And we are finishing up in Ward 2, the last of Roland Hills. And by the way, all of the streets that are shown in red on this graphic that was listed as under construction, those are all now complete. They would be true. I need to update my graphics. In Ward 3, I mentioned to you the Flowing Wells Park and Flowing Wells Storage neighborhoods. That's basically this area here. And we are finishing up with, we've finished the paving, we're in adjustments in Jefferson Heights. We have just recently finished, this is in the Dodge Flower neighborhood, and I know Mr. Oliby, you had mentioned that. These neighborhoods, this is Farmington Edition and Grantland Acres. We still have the Caverini neighborhood, which is basically to the north of Gwen, between Palo Verde and Country Club. That neighborhood remains, and that will be done in at the same time as we finish up the last phase of La Madera. The water work is now winding down in La Madera, and we've been working with Tucson Water to couple our projects with theirs so we can get effective, a good scale pricing on that. So that is where we stand there. I expect that to go out to bid here shortly. This is La Madera, the second phase of the La Madera project that we did in conjunction with Grantland Acres and Farmington Edition. So those are all complete. Ward 4, well, the scale of Ward 4 is such that it gives me a small map. You had asked about Hearthstone Hills. This is Hearthstone Hills here. It's basically, this is how it led here, and it's just as you're dropping down into Pantano Wash, or you're just on the heights above the Pantano Wash, if you're dropping into that on Houghton. We, again, are finishing up the last phase of Rolling Hills, and this is Lincoln Ridge here. And these other streets, these other neighborhoods that are shown in here in red are complete. They're all work that's been done this summer and fall. Ward 5, again, big scale. These are the neighborhoods that we're looking at right now. I don't think I have... Yes, we do have Man Love Edition that Mr. Roscone mentioned. That's right up here. We have... The Bruckner's Edition, which is the area around the Kahlil Bottling Plant. We've got Altadena Heights, and then we have Mirasol Edition. And again, these roadways shown in red, those were in Ward 5 Package 1. Those are now complete as well. Ward 6, we are looking at... Let's start. We talked about Pinecrest and Avondale. and those will be after the first of the year. Or actually, is Pinecrest going sooner than that, Gate?
You know, I don't recall, Jim.
Okay. Okay. This is the Frontier Village neighborhood right in here that is after the first of the year. This is Speedway Edition right here. We've got West University neighborhood, and we have Iron Horse here. Those are basically about to commence, they're under contract. And we've got El Encanto, and then we've got El Conquistador right in here. This is part of the surface treatment program, and this will be mill and filling here in El Encanto. And where we stand in terms of revenues collected to date, we basically, in terms of sales taxes and use taxes collected, Better Streets has benefited to the tune of $200.7 million so far. That's collections through September. We have been tracking our accumulated revenue versus our contract encumbrances and our expenditures, so you can see how that has been progressing over time. We're about $210 million when you add in interest to the $200 million that we've collected. We've got just, I want to say, $198 million worth of encumbrances. And in the report that was provided, you'll see that we're about $160 million of money out the door in paid reimbursements or expenditures.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I was a little concerned when I looked at this. July and September are actually substantially below the prior year.
You know, it is a little softer than last year. Mm-hmm. You'll see a great deal of variability on this. And it depends on when the Department of Revenue posts. So you'll see from month to month things move around a little funny. I'm more accustomed to the RTA revenue, I used to call it the heartbeat of the RTA. You could see, you know, year after year, it was very cyclical, and you could compare. It's a little wonkier with the way we get money from the Department of Revenue. They make deposits every week or so at the RTA. You'd get them on a single monthly check, and you could track it a little better. Talking to our folks at Revenue, they are acknowledging that revenues are a little softer than they were last year in the sales tax side, but the use taxes have made up for that. Mm-hmm. So we are still a little ahead of the game from last year. And we see that in the RTA revenues as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, any other questions?
I'll make a comment. You have at Hearthstone, where my wife and I lived from 2000, from 73 to 84, and Rolling Hill, where we lived from 84 to 2019, and you're hitting the neighborhood just north of the neighborhood we're in now. You just repaved Fort Lowell, which was next to Plaza Palomino, which is where my office was for 30 years.
And get away from me, can't we?
No.
Don't tell anybody
and
that.
You're doing Frontier, and you're doing Frontier Village, which my grandfather was one of the three partners that developed Frontier Village.
Wow. So you basically got a flowing history going on, too, with Tucson.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are going to wonder how you got all those payments done.
We didn't know it was us now.
I can tell you definitively, he
never talked to
no influence
you.
On
you. Never talked to him.
I didn't hear a word.
I will mention that right now where we're at in terms of projects that we've got out to under contract now or complete, about 35% of the city, just 34.9% of the city is city streets are either under contract or complete. And we've got, of the projects that are complete, is it's 30.7%. So we're doing that pretty well. That last item I wanted to give you an update on, is the collector broker. Then this will go quick. These are the projects that are completed. I'll tell you that all the projects below the Tucson Boulevard, 22nd Street, were completed in the within this current or this most recent 12 months. So we finished Grant Road or Tucson Boulevard from Grant to 6th and Helm. We did that last fall around Thanksgiving. We've since that time also done Stella, Kenyon Drive, Sarnoff Drive, 29th Street, Prudence Park Avenue from Fort Lowell II, 6th Avenue from Drexel to Valencia, and IE Santa Cruz. So we've had a busy year in the collectors. Projects that are currently under construction or to do include Sarnoff Drive from 22nd to Pantano. That's kind of the tail end of the
Rolling Hills
of the Rolling Hills program. It is considered a collector, and we are also doing a with that project. We will be doing a hoplite, which is going to be funded with 407 safety funds at the Pantano Parkway and Sarnoff Drive intersection. Mm-hmm. So that is also being done under this big. Under Rolling Thunder, as we like to do that. We have San Juan Trail from Mission to Greasewood and Greasewood from Star Pass to the end of the road on the south. Those are now almost complete. We've got the paving down. You're going to see photos of that in just a moment. And then we start next month Roger Road west of Oracle, which I know is long awaited in that community. So this is a map of the projects. Everything that's got blue arrowheads and text are projects that are underway. Everything with green are projects that are complete. And if it's red, it's part of the collector program. So you can see that we do still have, I think, Romero Road, which is, I think, going to go to bid in the spring. We've got Glen and Flowing Wells that we're working on. We still have this piece of Greasewood. I know that 36th, basically from Ajo to Mockingbird Lane, is in design as a multi. It's going to have multiple elements in it, so it will have some sidewalk improvements and other improvements that are safety. So it's a layered project. And then we've got 29th Street between Swan and Craycroft that also, along with Columbus and Gland. So those projects, all those other projects are more complicated. They have more elements in them. They're not just simply paving. They're more complicated projects. And yet the simple projects out pretty fast, but the more complicated ones are taking more time. And that's where we're at. We're almost at the end of the simple projects, so the remaining projects will take some more time. Those projects include Elvira, Four Mills, Miracle Mile, Grant Glen, and these all have water conflicts. So yeah, when we add water, it becomes a lot more complicated. And then we have Bilby Road, and I believe actually this is needs to be updated. We're actually, I believe, at 90% plans on building. So, and they did get their approvals from the railroad at the Gallus Spur, which is a big deal. Here's some pictures. This is San Juan Trail. We haven't gotten the striping yet. I think that's what, next month?
We were waiting for community feedback. They had a deadline of tomorrow.
Okay.
We haven't seen any objections. The striping plan will be finalized next week, and paint will be the 11th, and thermal will be, painting will be November 11th, and thermal will be in December.
And the reason that Gabe made the distinction about the comments We are working with a biped people to make sure that we're getting the bike path and bike lanes getting the treatment squared away on that. You could community feedback on that. I know you may have heard some feedback on probably was it Sarnoff, I believe, in the neighborhood to the north of Rolling Hills. They put in a lot of bike facilities. You know, we did the paving under the collector program, and then the 407 program added to that, and added the enhanced striping. They call them K70 ones, the big vertical panels, and that those got some attention from the community. A lot of it had to do with the people getting comfortable and familiar with basically protected bike lanes. It's basically what they've done in some parts of that roadway. For at school, they actually have the bike lane up against the curb. Then they have the on-street parking and then the travel lanes. And it's to give greater safety to the bicyclists in these highly congested areas. So it is different, and it's something that's common in other parts of the country, and we're becoming familiar with it and embracing it here. So, but it's not without controversy. So you may have seen that in the news in the last couple of months.
Something similar on Stone. It's part of the Stone repaving.
Stone, we did We did the protected bike lanes there as well.
Right.
Protected those with curb. In this case, it's more with delineators and pins. And here's Greasewood, same situation with the painting will be going on at the same time as you do Sandwa. This is all done under electronic data. In terms of where we are financially, doing pretty well. To date, our construction contracts have come in at just under $23 million. You can see that we have not had a big number of change orders because the difference between the adjusted amount and the contract amount is pretty close.
Thanks again for throwing some extra money at Old Spanish.
Oh. You bet. And with that, happy to answer any questions.
Anybody?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. With that, the only other item I think on the agenda that we have is it has to do with the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. They met last evening. I got a report from Ryan Fagan. He informed me that they did have a presentation on the Kenyon Bike Boulevard that has been in the news recently. They also considered or had a conversation about writing a letter of support for the RTA Next plan, which there seems to be support for endorsing the plan, and they're going to be writing a letter that they'll consider approving that letter at their December meeting. The other thing that they also talked about was middle housing, which basically one of the things that's happened at the state legislature is basically legislature has required cities to permit triplexes, duplexes, these more advanced housing types citywide unless they establish a zone for infill. And that's something that the city is considering right now, is defining an infill zone where these denser housing products are going to be. And if we don't do the definition, then it'll be a by right situation citywide. That's happy to answer any questions.
Any? No, I think we're good.
All right.
Well, I guess so
this is the next meeting.
Next meeting.
Yeah.
So I think
if you want to hear anything.
Yeah. Well, let's get the first meeting. And then we'll see what else you wanted to agendize. But how's January 22nd ending for you all? It's a Tuesday.
January 22nd?
I have it as a Thursday.
I have it as a Thursday.
I had it right here. January 20th, sorry.
Yeah, January 20th, that's good.
That one's open.
Great. Good? Okay, so let's see if the room is available for January 20th. Please, thank you so much.
Yeah, we won't be able to look it up until a month out.
Okay.
Oh, is that far out yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so tentatively, let's hold it on our calendar space book thing. All right. And then anything for the next agenda that people want to discuss?
I would be interested in seeing if RTA Next passes the estimated impact of the maintenance program that the city of Tucson would receive, how many lane miles, and approximately what that would look like adjusted for purchasing power and spread out over the 20-year program.
And really our role in that, whether what revision is or...
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'd be happy to share. We've actually developed a map of potential candidate roadways. However, this is a 20-year plan. I think the roadway that we identified were identified by need. I'm not sure if they'll still exist in 20 years. Pardon the sarcasm there, but the dollar amounts, if it was meted out on an annual basis, it would be about $7 million a year to the city. I think the way they'll probably move with it would be authorizing, because the RTA is set up to have four periods of 5 years. I believe they'll give you an authorization for what we're talking about when it's not resolved yet. But it will ultimately be a board decision on how to release funds. But I think there's good reason to consider doing a 5-year at a time block of funding available. So if that were the case, the city might get a $35 million tranche of funding to put out there on arterial roads. That's equal to basically 2 years of the current collector program. And I think given that we've got collector funding, and there may be an appetite for continuing it beyond its current termination time, if focusing it on arterials rather than collectors would make sense. Okay. And we've got a map with our preferred arterial work. We've adjusted it to take out roads that would be reconstructed under RTA Next. So we have a map, because some of those roads that are RTA Next will address are also some of our worst roads or roads that we would have to be paying for.
Yeah, and the residents in Ward 2 have expressed frustration with the arterials, and I think that would be the focus. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I need express concern like they're going to come to the meeting, or they want you to convey that to
us? More of that, yes. That we don't have a real answer for them, that there's funding dedicated. Irvington, east of the Air Force Base, is an example.
I can tell you definitively, Irvington, east of the Air Force Base, is one of the roadways that we've identified. We try to think of the other roads that are on that. But we have identified Wilmot south of the Air Force Base. We've identified Kolb from basically the Valencia Road intersection, the improvements that the RTA did back there about 5-6 years ago. From there south to the interstate is in bad shape. That's also one of the roads that are identified. And Alvernon and Gullfunks, basically through the curve, is starting at Ajo, where it comes in, or where the city limit is, and going around the curve to Swan is identified as one of the roads that would be. So for east side roads, those are key ones.
Okay, so
there's probably some others that I could share.
Okay,
since you're talking about that, something that's come through the RTA that is that they have started construction on Park on Interstate 10 between Park and Alvernon.
Right.
The ADOT's goal, and that's there's a long stretch between goals and actually getting things done, but their intention is over the next 20 years to construct, widen Interstate 10 to Colebrook. And in that area also, in this plan, there is a new traffic interchange at Reeder Road and Interstate 10, and as well as three new traffic interchanges in Marana. So,
now you sign me.
With that, I guess we will call it a close.
All right.
Y'all have a great holiday season. Stay safe. Spend good time with your families. And give us a much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service.